We kick things off on Thursday afternoon by welcoming into the program our friend Brian McLaughlin of Hero Sports. Hello, Brian.
Hey, Rich. Boy, that's a bunch of great guests you have coming on. I was honored to be a part of that.
Well, listen, we got the best leadoff hitter in the business here.
My check is in the mail, Rich. It'll be there pretty soon.
All right. I look forward to that. Well, let's talk about last week, Brian, in FCS football and some statement wins by a few teams, starting with Montana. How about that one?
Yeah. That was definitely the statement win of the weekend. You know, the way that they were able to go to California and just annihilate a team that we still think is pretty good in UC Davis, who took NDSU really down to the wire the weekend before. That was a statement win, and I think it's clearly the biggest win for the Grizz since they beat North Dakota State in the season opener back in 2015. I mean, they're really rocking. You know, the big question with them is always, can they continue it? Because they've had a couple interesting starts over the last couple of years and then kind of fizzled down the stretch, but I just don't see this team fizzling. I think this team has playoff seed written all over it. So that was a big one.
Also a very impressive victory last week for Weber State.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, the thing with Weber State, you know, a lot of those big sky teams, they don't play a whole lot of defense. And Weber State is the complete opposite. You know, they played two games with FBS teams. Yes, they have lost to San Diego State and Nevada, but both were by six, and they held both of them to under 20 points. In fact, they held San Diego State to a 6-0 loss, basically. So if Weber State can get the ball rolling just a little bit more on offense against FCS competition, you know, this is a team that could, you know, be a major factor in the Big Sky race. And don't forget, you know, last year the freshman of the year in the FCS was Josh Davis, the running back from Weber State. So, and he's, you know, he's a big weapon at the FCS level. So that's the team to keep an eye on for sure.
In the CAA, well, a team that you've already got is the number one team in the country, but James Madison sent a pretty loud message out there that they're the team to beat in this conference.
Yeah, I think so. I still think, and you just said it, I think they're the team to beat in the whole country. And not too many people on board with that sentiment, but so far, so good. I mean, you know, they've given up, about 40-ish, 50-ish total points to FCS competition. I'll bring this stat up for the millionth time. They outrushed West Virginia 170-plus yards to 30-ish. I mean, you just don't do that to P5 teams at this level. I mean, you usually, you know, win on a wing and a prayer or a last-second field goal after you've thrown for, you know, five touchdowns, and that's usually how you'll see an FCS beat a P5 team. Well, James Madison totally dominated West Virginia in that game statistically. So this is a good team. They do have some challenging games coming up the next 2 weeks. You know, the Stony Brook's 4-1, and they have to travel to Stony Brook this weekend. And then next weekend, I'm actually going to go to Harrisonburg and watch them play Villanova, which could be a really, really big game if both those teams stay clear this weekend. So James Madison's looking pretty good. And, you know, we kind of saw it coming, to be honest with you. And they had a coaching transition, but it was a good, you know, it was a good trade. I mean, Mike Houston for Kurt Cignetti, both of them are excellent. So it's been a pretty good year so far.
Well, and also got a heck of a defensive coordinator taking Maine's guy, Corey Heatherman, who's one of the best in the business.
Yes, they did. Yeah. And I had a chance to talk to Corey last year during the playoff run, and you know, there was no question, you know, what Maine was doing in the playoffs was, you know, the biggest part of it was what was going on in defense. So that was obviously a really smart hire by Cignetti when he came in. It also took a potential playoff rival, took one of their best guys away, you know, and sometimes that's how it works. So, yeah, there were a lot of good hires at James Madison after Mike Houston left.
You mentioned Villanova. A couple of weeks ago, we were wondering how good they were. They'd racked up a 3-0 start, but not great competition. Then the overtime win over Towson, and last week I got to see it up close and personal in Philadelphia. And I will say this right up front. Boy, Daniel Smith is the real deal. I wondered if he had faced that same level of competition at Campbell, but boy, he's smooth out there.
He really is. Yeah, and you're right. It was kind of a warm-up act with three Patriot League teams to get rolling, but maybe that was the perfect way to do it, you know, for bringing in Daniel. And I'm right there with you, Rich. I had an awareness of Daniel Smith 2 years ago at Campbell being a 1,000-yard passer and rusher as a freshman. So, like, we all knew who he was, but we didn't know how that transition from being very successful in non-scholarship football at the Pioneer League level would translate to CAA, and it translated pretty well. You know, and you couple that with what Justin Covington is doing in the running game. He's leading the nation. See, how about that? Villanova's got the leading rusher in the whole country in Justin Covington. So you couple that with what we already knew would be a great defense. You know, four of their five wins have, you know, they've pinned opponents to 17 or less. You know, the only exception is Towson. You know, and Towson can score some points. Who are we kidding? So it's been a really fascinating start. And luckily for them so far, the injury bug has left them alone for once. You know, it's almost unfair what they've gone through the last couple of years.
We're talking to Brian McLaughlin of Hero Sports. Well, let's look at some of the big games coming up this weekend and start with a matchup between number one in the country, North Dakota State, number 10, Illinois State.
Yeah, and that's been a big topic this week because, you know, I think a lot of us are still curious about the Bison, but we're really curious about Illinois State because, you know, in years past, this is a tough program. It's a program that could make the playoffs at 6-5 and give you all you wanted in the first round, you know. I mean, it's just a hard-nosed style team. And last year, they had a good start, and they beat the tar out of Colorado State, which really jumped off the page. Mm. And then they kind of fell apart. So we're real curious to see, now that they're in Missouri Valley play, what does Illinois State have? You know, because they get to host this game. That's big. You know, 2 years ago they hosted them in a snowstorm and nearly knocked North Dakota State out of the number one seat. You know, so, you know, they're tough. So the Redbirds, you know, obviously have a tall task, but I think they have the potential to win this game. Will they do it? As you know, that's when we learn a whole lot about Illinois State.
Northern Iowa looking to bounce back this week. They're at home against Youngstown State. How do you size up that one?
Yeah, it kind of in the same way. I mean, I think we wonder about UNI from the standpoint of falling at Weber State, and I think you look at that from the standpoint of, okay, how could this impact the playoff picture? And I think it will ultimately. And then Youngstown's 4-0. But kind of like Villanova, before they hit their stretch in conference, Villanova really had not been tested. Youngstown pretty much has not been tested either. You know, what will they have when they go on the road, UNI? And I think you're going to see some great defense in this one. And I think you're looking at two potential playoff teams. So it's a monster matchup in the Valley.
Also an interesting game, I think, this weekend between Nicholls and Central Arkansas. Yeah. Both of them maybe looking for that signature win.
Yeah, well, I might counter and say, you know, Central Arkansas knocked off Western Kentucky in FBS,
right.
So I feel like UCA has a signature win, but it's been a month now, you know, and they went out to Hawaii and got knocked around, kind of to be expected. That's their lone loss. They've had some close wins over teams that you thought they might be able to put away, you know, by a higher margin. Nicholls is the team that we're really curious about because this, you know, I went to Southland Media Days in Houston back in July, and you just got the feeling when we were there that Nicholls was the team to beat. And as it turns out through the first month, now it kind of looks like Central Arkansas is. But could Nicholls change that? You know, I mean, Nicholls is 2-2. They've lost the two FBS teams. Neither one of them were even close games. But they are undefeated against the FCS going into this one. And they're 1-0 in league play. And they get to host this one at Thibodeau. Nicholls needs to show us something. And I think this is their opportunity this weekend to show that they should be in the discussion with the big boys.
And finally, a big CAA matchup. And I don't know if Stony Brook can beat James Madison. I don't expect they can. But I think, to me, it's more of a measuring stick game. Can they keep it close? Can they show us that they deserve to be in that conversation for playoff contenders from the conference?
Yeah, I think they can keep it close. I mean, I have a lot of respect for that program. I mean, they always play tough defense. Mm. You know, and that, you know, that's, when it comes down to it, that's really what matters the most. And I'm not trying to use coach cliches here, but I mean, we've seen it, you know, traditionally we have seen in the playoffs that these are the kinds of teams that usually come out on top when they can hunker down on defense. And when you look at their, you know, their season, yeah, they really haven't beaten a monster program yet, but they played really good defense. They're 4-1. I mean, I could see this being like a 21-7 type game, and I'm sure they would love to make it more interesting than that, but I don't think anybody would destroy Stony Brook in discussion if they, you know, came out, you know, maybe 10 points down or 14 in a game like this, and they would still, you know, that might, who knows, depending on the rest of their schedule, that could be maybe one, you know. Maybe they only lose one game in the FCS, maybe two. And that, now you're looking at a 9-3 season, and that might be a playoff team. You never know.
Absolutely. So, well, that's why it's such a fun division, why we love FCS football so much. Brian McLaughlin, Hero Sports, always great to talk with you. Appreciate it, Brian. Enjoy the games this weekend, and we look forward to catching up again next Thursday afternoon.
All right, Rich, I appreciate it, sir.
Brian McLaughlin, every Thursday, kicking off the program here on Downtown. Follow his great work online. Hero Sports, FCS football coordinator. Great stuff there.